Der Clip anzeigen. Le Show Clip.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's leave the show.
Howdy. See, that's instead of me saying from the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, I just said, yeah. All right, it's a work in progress. Hey, how you doing? I'm Daniel Brewer. You're listening to the Pride 48 Clip Show, episode number 2 for February of 2016. That means every single clip that you hear in this show will not only have taken place from a Pride 48 podcast, but it will have come in from a listener suggestion sent to us in the month of February 2016. See how that works? It's a very fine line. It doesn't have to be a clip from February. It just has to be, you know, suggested to us in February. That's what we're trying to say, I think. I'm so glad that you joined me. We have a great show for you this evening. We're going to try out some new things here this month and see if they work. I listened back to the first show. My co-host, Adam Burns from Dubious Intent, said this about the first show. It was a little rambly. And yeah, it kind of was. I'm sorry about that. But this is, this is growing pains, right? Growing pains to try to find a format for this kind of show, kind of see what we have. But we have some good participation this month. We've got 6 or 7 different clips that came in from suggestions. So let's just dive right into it, and then we'll explain some stuff as we move along. This very first clip comes into us suggested by Rob 2. Do you guys know the Robs, Rob 1 and Rob 2? They are around in the Pride 48 community quite often. You might have met them this year, this past year at the Pride 48 Expo in Vegas. But Rob 2 said, hey, Pod is my co-pilot, had a really cool little clip. Let's take a listen to it right now, shall we?
Your day just got exponentially better because you have us. And by us, I mean myself, Taffy Carlisle Huffington, the always beautiful Rodan.
Well, hello there.
And your pod bear and mine, Taylor the Latte Boy.
Pod bear? That sounds like something that should be in a cocoon of some sort.
If someone could make a pocket bear, like literally a little, like 5-inch tall teddy bear that had Taylor's face, and we all could just put him in our pocket and carry him around whenever we needed a little dose of love, we could just take it out and squeeze it.
I don't ever want to be in your pocket.
It's like a voodoo bear. So if you ever just want to, you know, give kisses, you can just kiss a little bear and all of a sudden, you know, Taylor will just feel better. He'll have a happier day.
I call that to Babalu all the time. Kiss the little bear. Kiss the little bear. One of our listeners, I'm not sure who it is. It might have been Romo. I'm not sure. Posted a video.
Vidya.
Of a series of short videos called Daddy Hunt on Facebook. Oh, Rodan, did you happen to see this?
I did not watch them.
Okay. I for some reason, did. And I don't know why, but...
But you regretted that decision immediately.
I regretted it almost immediately, but it's like 7 minutes and I was a minute and a half in. I'm like, oh, well, I know it's not porn, but I just want to see
it. What was
and it?
It
was very much like the Folgers commercials of the 80s with Giles from Buffy the Vampire right. Slayer and the British woman. But which I was just like, okay, well, what's going to happen with these two horrible, so bad they really couldn't get into porn as actors because they were just so bad. And then at the end, it ends up being a commercial for an app called Daddy Hunt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was I actually went, oh, when I saw, like, I'd been tricked. I'd been bamboozled into watching some
bamboozled
video of where it's, and of course, I don't think they wore sleeves once in the video. Like, they've either got on a tank top or they have on a shirt where you can literally see, it's a button-down shirt, but you can literally see it, like, scalloping, like, where
no,
the shirt is
no.
so tight. But it's the older, and by older, we mean, like, 45-year-old gay guy that lives across the hall from the young new guy that just moved in who's, like, 27, and they both have beards, and they wear tank tops, and... It's just, it's
Ew.
Weird. It was horrible, which is why I watched all 7.
I was going to say, which is why you watched it.
Couldn't look away, could you?
Well, because it's one of those, it was so bad, it was good.
Well, it's almost time to bring a cub into your little nest there, your little cave of wonders.
Cave of wonders. That's the name for Taylor's asshole before he says that's the name of my vagina. That's the name of his asshole is Cave of Wonders.
because you need a special incantation to get into it.
Spelunking.
And that incantation involves...
It's actually the sound of someone spitting.
I'm both appalled and proud at the same time.
That, of course, was Taylor Taffy and Rodin from Pod Is My Copilot, which is a very hard thing to say quickly, but you can find them at podismycopilot.com. I really hope that's right. I'm going to type it in right now, podismycopilot.com. And just make sure, just make sure that it's going to go to the right place. Yeah, it does. All right, great. Whew, that was fun. Thank you, Rob, too, for suggesting that clip. You know, you don't have to be a listener to submit a clip. You can be a podcast producer and submit your own clips. And this is what happened from the podcast put on by the former host of Next Blime, which now have a new show, which I'm almost positive is called It's About Damn Blime. And here's a clip from that show sent in by... Baron Frosty.
But she's like, I'll put a question mark here on your record so the PA can talk to you about it. I'm like, all right, go ahead.
The Prince Albert?
Yeah. Physician's assistant.
I've seen Rodney's Prince Albert.
Who hasn't?
I have. Have I seen it?
Yes.
Rodney. Awesome. Well, and that's right. Rodney flashed it and like...
He flopped it out on Richard's table.
Well, no.
All you have to do is go in the bathroom at the Naughty Boy camp, and he's walking around nude.
But I saw it once, and like, it was weird because he like, because you gotta see a little bit of a penis, whatever, and like, but he has like a big head, so I'm like, why is there, like the lid of a
is
can,
he uncut?
Like,
do you guys
ring?
Know?
It's kind of weird.
Is he what?
Is he uncut?
I don't think so.
I don't.
I think he's cut.
Wait, cut. Yeah, because like I was saying, I think it was like his PA was big, but his head was. All I can see was like head and PA, and like his head, he has a big head. I was just amazed. I'm like, wait, whoa.
I didn't think it was that big.
Out of the corner of my eye, because I'm Catholic and I didn't look directly at it because I didn't want to turn into a pillar of salt, I could have sworn he was uncircumcised.
No.
Yeah.
Take it from somebody who was sitting in the front seat of the Ghetto Bagel when he was getting dressed and turned around, and all of a sudden he's like in my face with his junk.
Oh!
That are the boys from Blime Time. You can find them at blimetime.libsyn.com. If this gets too confusing for you, you can always just go to pride48.com/shows, and you can find all of the shows that we have on the Pride 48 Podcast Network. All of them. Great. We also have some more of Blime Time coming up later in this show. Thank you very much, Baron Frosty, for doing that. Now, you may be asking yourself at this point in time, hey, how can I do this? How can I submit a clip? To be played on the clip show. It's very easy. All you have to do is just send an email to clips@pride48.com. Tell me the name of the show, the episode, like, you know, doesn't have, even if it's not the episode number, just like the most current one, like the most current episode as of the day that I'm sending you this email. And then tell me roughly about what time it is in the show and what the context is. Like in this case, like for example, the Pod Is My Copilot clip, Rob said, hey, at about 3 minutes in on Pod Is My Copilot 372, Caves of Wonder. See, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. I'll do the rest from there. I'll pull the clip. I'll make sure it gets done. Now, if you're Baron Frosty, if you're a person that makes the show, and I do desperately appreciate this, he made his own clips and just emailed me the clips at clips@pride48.com. So thank you very much there. I really should write a script, but honestly, who has the time? Coming up later in the show, though, I am going to interview Arthur from the Amarins podcast, one of the very first hosts of Pride 48, the live streaming event. Actually, the first two hosts, the very first year of Pride 48 was Adam and myself. But yeah, Arthur was the host for like 3 years after that. And he's kind of taking it a little bit easy in podcasting, but he's coming back. He's come back, I should say, the Amarins podcast. So I did a little interview with him, so we'll be playing that for you in a little bit. But before we get there, We had a phone call that I wanted to address. This phone call comes in from one of the Pride 48 podcasters, Scotty Little Ozzy Battler. Here's what he had to say.
Okay, so I'm calling about the new clips competition on Pride 48 where you just like let you know about a great clip and how it can't be at all current or relevant and can't relate to anything that's here and now because what if it's played in the future and suddenly it doesn't make sense. So what you're basically saying is that every clip has to be from Big Fatty's show because he never talks about anything. He never talks about anything current and now and relevant to a particular time. He just waffles a whole pile of crap. So it's going to be essentially a Big Fatty clip show. Okay, well, that was a great idea. This is Scotty, a little Aussie battler. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Dear God, what are you doing? Oh, my God. No,
Woodhaven.
Watch out for that car. Jesus Christ, you shouldn't be walking down the street recording. Thank you very much, Scotty. So I just wanted to clarify a couple of things there. When I said that it shouldn't be relevant, I didn't mean that. What I meant was it shouldn't be based on an event that is hyper what's the word I'm looking for? Oh God, there's got to be a word. Some English person, some English major out there has got to email me and tell me what the word is that I'm looking for. What I want to say is that the vice president, you know, the Democratic presidential debate the other night was really great, but I don't want to hear a clip about that a year from now because I won't care about it, is all I meant. So what I meant was, you know, the clip shouldn't be about an event that is passing in time that no one's going to care about later. That's all I meant. Now, if you were watching it on TV and then something else happened, and that was the story, you know, here, I'll give you an example. The other night I was watching the Democratic debate on TV, and then the pizza man showed up, and then, you know, he started blowing me on the couch. You see, now that's a story that we could play anytime, right? Because that's timeless. Getting a blowjob on the couch is timeless, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm trying to say. But the presidential debate, not so much. That's all I really meant there as far as, like, relevance or whatever. So I absolutely apologize for that. That was the wrong wording from me. But you are pretty much correct that it will just be a bunch of Big Fatty clips. Speaking of a bunch of Big Fatty clips, Rob 2 sent in his second suggestion for this month, which are multiple different clips from the Big Fatty show. So I'm going to introduce you to two different things here. Number one, I'm going to play those clips back to back, but I don't know. Did you hear the swoosh at the end? I have a swoosh that kind of denotes that that's the end of the clip. Wasn't that snazzy? But I have this little sound that you're going to hear, this one right here. Little sound right there, that little doodle-doot, that just means, I'm moving on to another clip, right? So, and if I do, you'll hear it right now. I'm going to play a bunch of little fatty clips all back-to-back, but you'll hear that little thing behind them so you'll know that it's from a different show. Isn't that fun? That's fun. Great.
Gary in Albuquerque, Gary's just a sweetheart, and he says, break ready. I have enjoyed my reign as the number 3 fan for 2015. Now to the top and the number 1 fan. Thank you for calling. Gary was the number 2 fan this year. Poor thing. Oh, poor Big Ready. Y'all, Hendrick. Hendrick says, I should be the number 1 fan because I suck cock like a racing horse. Big Ready. Okay. Prove it. Ant says, Lordy, Lordy, I was so busy with work that I forgot about the number 1 fan. Excuse me, about the number 1 funky homo. Oops, I mean the number 1 big fatty fan for 2016. Enter me, bitch. He's vulgar. Wait, that's another podcast. I'm ink blind and confused. Should I get a DI positive tested or will that result in a foul monkey? Should POTUS, my co-pilot, be driving me to the polls to vote for the number 1 fan, or should the game night gals be catching up on cocktails and cream puffs? I'm trying to visit the girls from nowhere, but not getting a greeting. Just kidding. I'll try and visit TJ and Q Sledge, but my brain is dead from being tossed around. You know, boing, boing. This week is Seda 69's premiere of Heathers. What can I say? Don't know. Still got to see the show. Hopefully Christian and Farrell will be around because I would be pleased to meet them. I would like to meet Toppy, Brenda, Peter, G, Wes, Jay, and Mock and Calendar, but I would be on their shit list. Yes, I don't have a toque or a beanie for Turnip Head or Wes. Sounds like a high school yearbook dedication. That's my entry for the number one fan. I just disqualified myself for going over 25 words. Miss Beaver. Miss Beaver says, 8 years, unbelievable, incredible, amazing. Thank you for 8 great and wonderful years of fun and friendship, my dear. I love you so much that I named my favorite sheep Big Foo-Foo. For Rosie, for Big Foo-Foo. I also had the honor of being the number 3 fan twice, and it would be a pleasure to make that thrice. Is that a real English word? That is not one in fat speak. If not, that is one in fat speak, I'm sure. Thanks for my daily dose of ruination. I could not survive without it. Enjoy the super bowels, and here's to another 8 years at least. Don't you ever dare pod fade, dearest Big Fatty. We need the BFO as desperate as Granny needs her depends. Love you, Big Fatty. And it, oh! Well, that's the countdown clock. You know, I said back when I hit episode number 2000 that I was going to run the countdown clock at every 100 episode increments, just so you know, we were counting down. Vonzie, only 900 more, Big Fatty. Anyway, so y'all, we're at number 2100 today, and that means we got 900 with a Big Fatty. That's almost 3 years. And no, it's a let's see, that'd be 2 years. Big Fatty, I'm sure somebody will figure it out. I mean, Vonzie's got a calendar, she's probably got it circled on there already when the last one is. So, anyway, y'all, the time is getting away from Big Fatty. You're making so many people happy. And maybe one or two might even be a little sad, but they're probably just making most everybody happy. But you just go ahead and
I really hope that you did something during that clip, because it was torture to listen to. Thank you so much, Rob, too, for torturing us all with 4 completely unrelated Big Fatty clips. That was great. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm teasing, of course. Thank you for all those admissions that have come in this month. You know, coming up on this show, we have some more clips from Blime Time. I don't know why I can't talk tonight. More clips from Blime Time coming up. We also have a clip from the Game Night Guys sent in to us by TJ. And then a couple of clips from Dubious Intent sent in by the co-host of Dubious Intent, Mr. J. Adam Burns. So that's coming up. But before we do anything else, let's check in across the pond to the future. We shall go. Let's talk to Arthur from the Emerence Podcast. Hi, Arthur.
Kia ora.
Wait, what?
It means hi.
Oh, it means hi. It means hi. I guess that is the most important thing about your podcast, is your podcast is based in New Zealand.
It is indeed. For the past 8+ years, nearly 9.
Wow. So you started podcasting in 2007. That's a long time ago, sir.
And rumor has it, I still do it occasionally. I mean, podcast.
Well, give us just a snippet. Give us the liner notes. What is your podcast about?
Me.
No, I understand that.
No, it's about... it is about me, but it's about my life in New Zealand, about things going on in New Zealand in this part of the world, about being an American living in another country and what that means, all that sort of stuff. The kinds of things that most people in America wouldn't hear otherwise.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And so it's called Amerinds, and it's kind of a play on America and New Zealand, right? It's kind of a mashup of those two.
Well, it's derived from American in New Zealand, because... Right. I actually did a YouTube video about that. That's one of my other projects. I realized that I was an American in New Zealand, and for some reason, I just realized I could shorten that a bit, and I ended up with Emerins as a result. Although I got told off by leftists once for that name.
Really? Wait, told off for what? For what possible reason?
Because it took me a while to work it out, but she was reading it as an American would read the letters. And so in her, because in most of the world, the final letter of the alphabet is Z.
Yes.
And of course, in America, it's Z. So she was reading it as American Z or something. She said, that sounds like American Nazi. It took me the longest time to figure out what she was on about. And then I finally schooled her. I said, you know, you're the only country that calls that the letter Z.
It is difficult, I guess, to sometimes read words and to hear them, you know, like how they're supposed to be. Like, I just ran into this recently. There's a company called Artisanal Recordings or something like that. And I could not get past the fact that it looked like it said art is anal.
Well, it might if the kerning is bad.
So I can understand that, right? I can understand. I was like Hermione, when I was reading the Harry Potter books, I'd never run across anyone named Hermione in my life. So I did not know how to mentally pronounce that word, right? So until the first movie came out, she was, that's a lie. Until I listened to the audiobooks, she was like Hermine or something. It's like, I didn't know how to pronounce it. Yeah.
There was an English actress with that name. I must have been from a long time ago, but she was in The Flying Nanny, Mary Poppins, Jesus. And that's the first time I ever came across that name. And I didn't know how to pronounce it either. Because mind you, when I first saw it, I was 5, so that could have had something to do with it. Wow. I couldn't even read at that age, I don't think.
Wait, they had movies back then?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
They had to crank the handle and put the candle in the back of it, and there was a guy in the front playing the piano.
So, all right, so 2007.
Yes.
What is the most I mean, I know a lot of things have changed, you know, in the entire time that you've been podcasting. Like, what's the one thing that like jumps out at you? Is like this used to be a real pain, but now it's I don't even think about it.
Well, getting better audio quality is probably the biggest one, because when I started, I had a Logitech USB headset, and it was designed for did we have Skype then? I think we had Skype then. That sort of, I can't remember when things started. It was for stuff like that. So it wasn't really good for podcasting. It was kind of a tinny sound. And the worst part was that the cord would drag across my shirt, and I could hear that every single time I moved my head. And if I tried to keep my head still, it only made it worse, made me have to move it more. So that was probably the biggest change, because for my birthday in 2008, Nigel got me a teeny little USB two channel. Calling it a mixer is probably being a bit grand. It's more of a amplifier.
It does mix the two channels. But
yeah, that's true. That's true. I actually used that for years until I switched to however many channels this one is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah,
of course it is.
I would say I remember early days of podcasting when people would use a lot of mobile recordings. Like even you would record in the car with a little mobile recorder.
Yep. I still have it, actually. I haven't used it in years, but I still have it.
Yeah. And I remember a lot of CarCast. That seemed to be kind of the big thing back then. Was the
that and what did they call them? Sound something or others.
Oh, yeah. Sound. Yeah, soundscapes. So the binaural recordings were big back then.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest change that I've noticed is the accessibility, right? It, if you think back, because we don't think about it, because you think, you know, changes happen in increments, so you know they kind of sneak up on you.
Yeah, they do.
You don't think about them all the time, but think about 2007, right? To listen to your podcast, I had to have, in essence, I had to have an iPod. I had to take that iPod and plug it into my computer, you know, and even if it wasn't an iPod, let's say I had something else. Let's say I had, you know, a Creative River or whatever they call those things, the iRiver or any of the other mobile MP3 players, but none of them were capable of downloading podcasts. They were only capable of connecting to your computer and USB. So you had to have software running on your PC to grab the podcast. And then you had to plug your device into a USB plug on that computer and it would copy those things over to your player. And then you would, you know, be free to go about and listen to them or whatever. And that's a big change, because now with the advent of smartphones, right, we have our internet connection and our MP3 players in one. So like my own smartphone now, you know, checks for new podcasts like once every hour. So it's like, it doesn't matter where I'm at, I get the news. So I can be at work and it will go ahead and automatically download new podcasts. And when I get back into my car on the way home, it's automatically playing them via Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like,
although I have mindset not to do that unless it's connected to Wi-Fi.
Yeah. regardless, the point, I say that. Plus, it was a big thing to get it in your car, right? You didn't really have iPods didn't have Bluetooth on them. They didn't have, so you had to play all kind of games to get them to play on your stereo in your car.
I used to burn, when I was going on a long car trip, I used to burn podcasts onto a CD and play that in my car.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're short of days.
And I think that's kind of, you know, we're getting there, right? I often hear from people, they say like, you know, well, are people still doing podcasts? I don't think we've actually hit the heyday. I think until it becomes as easy to use as radio, right?
Yeah.
That it's just, you don't think about it. You just get in your car and it's playing. Now, granted, I'm an edge case, right? Because I have those things. But until everyone has that, where they can just get in their car and it's just taken for granted that your podcast is going to be playing. And if you stop and go into the grocery store and you come back out, it's going to pick up exactly where you left off, right? It's kind of like that, the nice little personal audio experience there. I think when that becomes really main, you know, widespread, I think, you know, there will be another surge in podcasting. And honestly, I think the numbers are still going up. Not as as they first were. But.
Well, no. And some of the, I mean, all of the major media, I was going to say shows, but companies, I guess, have podcasts. Sometimes the podcast versions of their broadcast shows, sometimes they're extras. The Daily Show used to have one for the people who made The Daily Show, talking about what went into that week's show and stuff like that. This is back when Jon Stewart was doing it.
Yeah.
But all sorts of other people have been getting into the act, including some of the big YouTubers, like the Green Brothers have a podcast.
That's true.
And who else? So Tyler Oakley has a podcast.
Yeah, Shane Dawson has Shane and Friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That only helps.
It does. I think it's always been weird to me that I can shoot as much video as I want. Right? I can take my camera. I can do HD video. Hell, I can do 4K video, and I can store as much of that as I want on my YouTube channel for free. Right? I can just upload gigabytes upon gigabytes upon gigabytes of video on YouTube for free. Not only that, but it doesn't matter if I go viral and 10 million people watch that video, which has never happened to me, or if just six people watch it, which is more of the case, I never have to worry about paying for bandwidth or for storage or for anything like that. To be a YouTuber, really, the only investment is the equipment. And there is no analog to that in audio, right? In the realm of audio, we pay to store our stuff, which is ironic because it's so much smaller than video. And we also paid for people to download it, right? It's like, depending on your hosting server, depending on how you choose to store your stuff in the cloud, if something were to really take off, you may end up with, you know, a really expensive bandwidth bill at the end of the month.
Well, you may recall that I actually ran into that very problem because I used to be hosted with a free account from something that was called Podomatic. I think it's changed its name now. And I started running into bandwidth problems and storage problems both.
Yeah.
Because I kept too many of my old episodes online. Right. And also there were too many people downloading them, darling.
You were just way too popular.
Exactly. Although I think that the limit was like 10 or something. 10 downloads. But no. So that's why I went and self-hosted, because it was the only way that I could both keep all of my content available, but also allow people to download as much as they wanted to without having to worry about it.
Yeah. And it's weird because we're still in it. I mean, I understand the reason why, right? It's trivial for me. If you're watching a video, it's trivial for me as the hosting company to superimpose advertising over the top of that video.
Yeah.
I can place a bottom third ad over the top of your video without it interrupting the content that's happening, right? So I can have a little bottom third, you know, advertisement that shows up on top of your video, which effectively pays for it.
Yeah.
Whereas you really can't do that. And right now in audio, we don't have a system that allows us to do that because it's audio. You know, you can't really overwrite. You can't just do something else on top of that because you
didn't. The service that Vera used to be with, didn't they add commercials at the beginning of there?
So that was, that was the original business model of, it's called Mevio now, but it started off as being something else. It was a pod.
I remember they also operated the PodSafe Music Network, but that was different.
Let's see.
It was related.
What was Mevio called before it was called Mevio? If only there was an internet work system of computers.
If you had any idea how many times I say that very
thing. It's right. You know, there's people screaming it right now. There's people screaming it at us right now.
Especially Gooch.
Right. They know. Is it Pod Show?
Yeah.
It was. It was Pod Show.
Yeah. Yes, it was. I don't remember it being called that, but okay.
Yeah, yeah, Pod Show. Yeah, and they received $8 million in venture capital back in 2005. It was founded by Adam Curry.
That I remember.
Yeah. So anyway, so Pod Show basically died.
It died in 2014, apparently. Finally died.
Yeah. So, I mean, they switched their name to Mevio in 2008. But yeah, they had the same thing, but it was a pre-roll or a post-roll commercial that would go on to your podcast, right? So you would just upload your file as normal, and then behind the scenes they would, you know, basically tack on a pre-roll. So they that has two problems, because if you think about it, what we do is we upload a compressed file. Right, podcasts are compressed into MP3s, which is a lossy compression. Without meaning to sound like a geek, that means that you've lost some of the quality of the audio by compressing it. And we all have our own personal, you know, level of quality comfort, right? Where you know, some people encode in 128, some people encode in 96K, some people encode, you know, 64K. It really just, you can slide that quality scale up and down, but that information is gone, right? So if you take an MP3 and then add something to it and then re-encode it as another MP3, you're in essence losing more quality as it goes. So the problem there was that Podshow would take, you know, an already compressed show, put a pre-roll on it, and then it would degrade the quality of the original show. But for the most part, it was free, right? You could post it there for free. You could keep it there for free. That what happened is when they went bankrupt, they just totally just pulled the plug on everyone. They didn't give them a chance to download their old back episodes. They didn't give them a chance to reclaim their RSS feeds or anything so they could move them, you know, easily to some other place. They basically just shut down and just kind of left them hanging. You know, and there
is the danger of not being self-hosted, I suppose. Right.
That is.
I mean, it's unlikely that YouTube will shut down, but it could happen.
True, but even YouTube has a way for you to download your stuff, and YouTube is not true. YouTube is not revolving around an RSS. And I know I sound rambling and everything, but I wanted to get to this point because I know that anytime you talk about setting up a new podcast, or it's always revolves around your feed. And the word of advice that has come down from on high from those people who started podcasting back in 2007, like yourself, is make sure that you always control your feed. Right. Yes. It doesn't necessarily matter whether you control where the files are hosted, because if the host, like let's back up a step here. Let's say if Vera Charles from Vera Speaks For Real was on Mevio, which she was, and when they shut down, she lost all of her back shows, not because she didn't have them somewhere else, but because the feed that everyone had subscribed to was still pointing to Mevio, and she had no way to change that. She had no access to that feed to be able to change it. So she had to set up a new feed and then spend months trying to get people to come back to a, you know, to resubscribe to a brand new feed, which, you know, depending on what point in time you talk to her, she's, you know, she either believes that she's gotten everyone back or she didn't, right? That was the other problem, is that Mevio often inflated the numbers that they would report. Because they were trying to attract advertisers. So it's really kind of up in the air.
Naughty.
Yeah. It's kind of up in the air as to whether that many people actually listen to it or not, right? I'm not talking about Vera. Yeah. I'm just talking about all of their shows.
Anybody, yeah.
But I seem to recall a young podcaster from New Zealand who spent months and months when he left Podomatic, you know, preparing people for the fact that they would have to subscribe to a different feed.
Yeah.
Going through the whole rigmarole of, you know, of cross-posting it in two different feeds to try to get to people to switch over. So that's where that comes from, right? So it's like, that's probably, I would venture to say that would be your number one piece of advice to any podcasters.
Absolutely.
Control your feed.
Yeah. I said that to people for years when they would be saying, oh, I'd like to start a podcast. And I just say, make sure you control your feed.
Yes.
What's a feed? Well, don't worry about that. Just make sure you control it.
Right. Absolutely.
No, seriously though. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. I did that. In the case of Podomatic, they weren't closing down. I just had to have a better situation, and that gave me the luxury of being able to manage the migration. And as a matter of fact, that feed is actually still live. Wow. It's just that there's nothing there.
Yeah, and it's weird because there are all kind of tools, right? There's actually a spec in the RSS spec. There's actually there's actually a provision in the RSS spec that says, hey, if this is going to be moved to a different RSS. Here's what you do. Here's what you put into the existing feed. You put this snippet of of XML into your existing feed, and that will redirect all the podcatchers to go and download it from somewhere else. The problem with it is you didn't have access to that on Podomatic.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
And I did actually inquire about them doing that, and I complained to them. I said, you're holding everything hostage. Yeah. And they basically didn't care. And I was, by that point, I was paying for it too.
Yeah.
I was paying, I forgot what they call it. I think they called it premium or something, which is kind of a joke if you stop to think about it, paying premium and still not getting service. But yeah, and that's why I ended up at that time, I set up my feed with FeedBurner, which isn't supported anymore. It's not, let me rephrase that. It's not being developed anymore.
Right.
But it still works. And
it does. But more importantly, here's the, you know, FeedBurner is just a wrapper of your existing XML feed.
Yeah.
So you're probably, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to say I know that you're kind of a WordPress-y kind of a guy. So you probably use the WordPress, like the Blueberry plugin on the WordPress or whatever, to create your feed. And then you tell FeedBurner to pull from your website using that feed.
Yes.
And then you just wrap some additional information around it on FeedBurner. So if FeedBurner went out of business tomorrow, which FeedBurner is owned by Alphabet. So it's like if FeedBurner went out of business tomorrow, you still control that XML feed that it's derived yeah. from. So you could still put in that redirect in your feed,
yeah,
which it,
yeah.
You know, makes it infinitely better than the situation that you were in before.
Absolutely. It just takes, actually, there's a setting in the plugin to send a signal down the tubes to alert that there's a change coming. So I don't have to know how to do that coding because I don't know how to do it. It's just a setting, or I've forgotten what it is now, but it's something in the app, the plugin rather itself.
Yeah, it's a
redirect. Allows you to do that fairly easily.
Yep, it's a redirect that basically lets you do that. Yeah, and that's another one. You know, I want to support Raw Voice and Blueberry more, but I don't know what I don't trust their business model, so I've never really I don't want to throw in too much with them because I don't know that they're going to be here tomorrow. I have no reason to believe that they won't, but then again, I don't really understand their business model. Which makes me nervous. So.
Well, the plugin that I use, I forgot what it's pod something or other. Mm-hmm. The POD is in lowercase. I can't remember what the rest of it is. But for a while, the guy who wrote it stopped developing it. And there was going to be a point where it was incompatible with the WordPress upgrades. And that's an issue because if you don't upgrade your WordPresses, it can be taken over fairly easily. And that happened to one of my sites. Because I hadn't upgraded because this plugin hadn't been upgraded. And I thought, well, I can't risk it. I've got to upgrade the site. Unfortunately, it did work despite all the warning.
Now, I use on my WordPress, I use I don't actually have a WordPress at the moment. But the one that I was using before, I was using PowerPress, which comes from Blueberry.
Yeah.
PowerPress.
And I did look into changing it, especially when this plugin wasn't being updated anymore. But I was concerned about how much control they were going to have over the feed and whether or not I was going to be able to get my hands on it. Cause this wasn't all that long after the Podomatic fiasco.
Right.
And I thought, I don't want to go down a road where somebody's going to have too much control over my feed because that's everything without the feed. If I don't have control of the feed, then I might as well not have any content at all because I can't control how the traffic's being directed. So I was not going to go down that road and I didn't.
So from 2007 to now, you've been doing your show. Now you've taken, I won't say a break, but I mean, you during that time, there were periods that you were not as frequent in your updates.
Yeah, probably from about 2013, maybe onwards, 12, 13, somewhere in there. I can't remember. I'd have to look.
Overall, rewarding, non-rewarding?
Hmm?
Overall?
Yes. Yes. It has been. Absolutely. The thing in my case, because I'm one of the few Americans I know in this part of the world, one of the things that it's gotten me is connections, well, actually back in the U.S. mostly, but in other countries as well, including people who live in this part of the world, which is kind of ironic to think that I've got to do this international medium in order to become friends with people in this part of the world, but I digress. It also allowed me to be able to help people who were maybe not in precisely the same situation as me, but who were thinking about moving to another country and they wanted to know what the risks were, what they needed to be aware of, some advice on what they should do, those sorts of things. And one of them was a couple, a straight couple, who moved to New Zealand ultimately. And he said to me, I'm going to have to buy you a beer. Well, we still haven't met up. We're friends on Facebook, but we haven't, even years later, haven't met up in real life.
This bastard, this bastard owes you a beer? And
I know. But yeah, there have been several instances like that people I've met through podcasting, and as I said, some people that I've been able to help or encourage maybe as well, who were thinking, people who were thinking about taking the same or similar journey that I did.
Yeah.
And that's rewarding in itself, because it's not every day that you can have a positive influence on the lives of strangers. I mean, unless you're, I don't know, Donald Trump.
Wow. So somewhere around, let's say 2009, a little thing came along called Pride 48.
It did.
And you were one of the early participants in Pride 48. As a matter of fact, you did participate in the very first Pride 48 streaming marathon that happened back in 2009.
Way back when. None of us knew what we were doing.
Right. Well, and then on top of that, I believe for 2010 and 2011, which included the very first Vegas Pride 48, you were the host of Pride 48.
Indeed. And I've forgotten which year it was. Actually, 2 years.
2010 and 11 were the years that you were the host.
Yes. And I coordinated the people who weren't in Vegas.
Oh, yes.
But one of them, the first year that there were no longer remote shows. I don't remember what year that was.
That would have been 2012.
Yeah. That one, I didn't do a show, obviously, because I wasn't there. But I participated a little teeny bit in that one, but that was actually pretty much it. Yeah. But the years before, one of the main things that I did was help the people who were going to be connecting remotely do it. And especially I was doing Mac support at that point, because at that point, none of you fellas knew how to do that. So
that's true. Actually, let me rephrase that. No, 2000 and, all right, this is such a complicated history here. 2009 and 10, Pride 48 existed as a from home, let's all stream kind of a fun thing. And it was a single event. 2011 was our very first Vegas year. And we still had people at home and people from Vegas. We kind of interspersed the two. It was still a single event, a single weekend, a single event. 2012, that was our first year at the Excalibur. And we also, that was the year that you coordinated people. And matter of fact, I think you hosted that year as well.
I think I did.
You and Adam, yes. Because I know that 2010, you hosted with me. 2011, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I think it was me again. And then 2011, you and Adam hosted. Yeah. And then 2012 was the year that we split the two. So you were participated in the June event in 2012, but not the Vegas event in 2012.
Right.
Right. And in 2013, 14, 15, there were two separate events. So very complicated. It's very complicated.
It is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it got confusing too when there was all this talk about the anniversary, Pride 14. It wasn't the fifth anniversary, and it was bugging the shit out of me.
It was the fifth anniversary of Pride 48. It just wasn't the fifth anniversary of the Vegas event.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. It was. That absolutely was. Because this past year was the fifth Vegas. I think this past year was the fifth Vegas. Yeah.
Mm.
So which we didn't play up because we'd already done a fifth. But I mean, that's one of those dramatic licenses that you take, right? It's just kind of like it's a branding thing.
Yeah.
It's a branding thing. As you know, we're not doing one in 2016. We're doing a June event in 2016, but we're not doing an at-home event. I mean, we're not doing a Vegas event in 2016.
Right.
If you're listening to this on the stream in like 2020, then, you know, sorry. At last, our long national nightmare is over. I don't even know what I'm saying. But so you were intimately involved in Pride 48. You have been you were one of the original suits on Pride 48. So you are well aware of the many tedious, annoying little things that go on behind the scenes of keeping the cats herded, as it were.
Yeah.
And you very wisely stepped away from
that. Yeah, I just did it long enough to learn how to use Excel and then walked away.
But and Big Fatty are my two, Switzerlands, right? You guys are very diplomatic. You're very diplomatic. You're very well-spoken. You don't lose your temper. You're just like, let's be honest. We're podcasters. A lot of us have type A personalities, and I'm probably very guilty of not being the most level-headed at times.
Really?
And that's just normal, right? That's entertainers, right? Look at me. And, when you have a lot of type A personalities, it can be daunting.
Well, my background in the old days, long before any of this social media stuff, was I used to do a lot of politics. And when you do that sort of thing, you've got to learn, first of all, how to get along with people you despise, and also to get people who you don't really like very well even to work together on a common cause. And when you deal with people you don't like, it's much easier than later on when there's people that you do like but who don't like each other to be the Switzerland, I guess, is as good as any, to keep the peace and to keep people moving in the same direction. So I was trained for, plus my dad and my granddad were ministers. So, yeah. So I had the may peace be with you sort of a vibe going on, I think.
Wow. So you've got the history. And I don't mean to keep harping on other people, but, or not harping on, but bringing them up, but like Vera Charles, both you and her started as bloggers before podcasting.
Yes. Well, you know, it's a funny thing about that, because when I first started my podcast, I said that I saw the podcast as an extension of my blog. And then I deliberately separated the two because I thought to myself, oh, they're completely different audiences. They've got nothing to do with each other. And so I'm going to put them in completely different silos. And then I realized somewhere along the line that the blog, the podcast, and even my YouTube videos are all different ways of telling stories. And they're all basically telling the same stories just from different angles or different, whatever medium is appropriate for the story.
Yeah.
And so in my case, because I'm a personal journal podcaster, I don't really see any difference between podcasting and blogging. It's just that one's audio and one's written. And there are different audiences for both, but I now cross promote between the two of them. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, if a listener wants to know about a blog post, they can find that easily and vice versa as well.
Yeah, I can testify to the fact that it's like, although it would be delightful to hear you tell a story about two hot boys on the side of the road trying to sell Christmas trees, that would be delightful to hear about, but it was much more fun to watch it on YouTube.
Yes.
Watch the shirtless hot boys selling their Christmas trees. So.
Yeah, they were actually really quite sweet. Just nice boys.
Nice boys. They were very nice boys. They looked.
Yeah, they're actually friendlier off camera than on camera. I think they're kind of nervous or something.
Not going to touch that one. Anyway, what happens off camera stays off camera, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, wow. So New Zealand, let's see. We've covered New Zealand. We've covered you blogged. We've covered that you've been podcasting for a very long time.
Yeah.
What was the first group, like how did you meet other gay podcasters, like LGBT podcasters?
Well, originally for me, it started because I was a listener as well as I was a listener as well as a podcaster. And I used to take part in the old group shows on, I don't even know if we're allowed to say the name anymore, but.
The name was Archer Radio. I mean, it's no longer exists, but yeah, it was Archer Radio.
Yeah, so I met several podcasters there and interacted with them as part of the panel or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And there was also this thing that used to be around called Podcast Soup that Mike Hipp used to run. It was basically a blog mm-hmm. that provided a little synopsis of various gay podcasts and what the latest episode was about, and so on.
I do remember that.
That's actually how I found about your old show called Box 7 was through that site. And that's how I started listening to that. And that's how I started listening to a number of podcasts was because Mike used to write about these shows. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. And so I'd go listen to it. And so then as the years passed, I met more of those people and got to know them. And then Pride 48 started and a lot of the same people were involved in that. And then new ones came in and new ones are always coming in. In fact, there's a lot in Pride 48 now. I have no idea who they are. It's been so long.
It is. Yeah, we're up to four pages right now of shows. Yeah. And I go through that periodically and trim out shows that have pod faded or have, you know, their RSS feeds no longer work. You know, I constantly send people to pride48.com/shows and I just don't want them to like click on something and have it like 404 or something. So it's like, I try to make sure that, you know, the shows listed there are active and that you can get to them, you know, and hear them. Kind of a thing. But here, I'm going to ask you this. I should have warned you about this ahead of time, but, you know, you're smarter than the average bear. So this is something that I'm sure that you can, that you'll be able to give me an answer to. Now, it has to be a Pride 48 show because I don't have the rights to, you know, play a clip from a non-Pride 48 show. But if I were to go scrolling back through the archives, you know, what would be like your favorite? Are there any segments or things that jump out at you from an old, you know, from the old days, from an old Pride 48 show back in the early days of, you know, maybe even before Pride 48, but it was a Pride 48 show. Any kind of thing that you can think of that maybe we could treat the listening audience to a clip of some early days of podcasting?
Bloody hell. I actually can't think of any because I used to listen to Big Fatty and Vera and a whole bunch of others, some of which are no longer around. It probably would have been some of the old Archer radio shows, the panel ones in particular, because they used to lose the plot half the time.
Yeah, they did. That they did.
And of course, Archer always going, "Is this too loud?" You know, that sort of thing.
He does. He's on YouTube now, and he does that.
Yes.
Same thing.
there was actually one of mine that I was kind of proud of.
There we go. All right, so let's listen to that clip. Tell me, set it up, and we will play a clip from one of yours.
it's quite old now, so I can't guarantee the sound quality, that's for sure. But it was a show that I did with several other podcasters who were, like me, preacher's kids, and gay preacher's kids. And so we talked about growing up as preacher's kids and what that meant and how that affected us as young gay people growing up, literally in the church. And then in some of our cases, we moved out of the church, but not all of them. So, yeah, that is probably one of the episodes I've done that I've been the happiest with, even though I would do it differently now.
Excellent. Well, then let's listen to a snippet of that show, and then we'll come back and we'll tell people where they can find it and stuff like that. So let's do that now, shall we?
Okay.
So basically what I guess that means is that our fathers were all doing their business when we were coming to terms with who we were and what we were about in the world. So I'm wondering if, since we grew up in the church and we would have been knowing a bunch of stuff that religions typically use against gay people, if that had any influence on the two of you. Now, Tim, Eric, you were seeming to say that didn't seem to influence you all that much, apart from the general prohibitions about sex. But Tim, did you have any real issues with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I pretty much knew I was gay when I was 13, but I couldn't accept it because of the religious background and everything. And I was so afraid of what people might think. And, you know, growing up in small towns in Texas and Oklahoma and it wasn't until I didn't really come out and accept who I was till about 23. And was living here in D.C. for a few years. And actually, what's interesting, I went to a Baptist university. One of the reasons I went there was it was a small Baptist university, but it was very well a very highly rated school, Oklahoma Baptist University. And at the time, I got a lot of scholarships to go there because my father was a Baptist minister. So did not pay all of it, but at least it helped a lot. And so I went to school there and graduated, and then ended up working and moving to Washington and D.C. And it was funny. I started attending a Baptist church in the suburbs in D.C. out in Falls Church, not too far from where our good friend Archer from Archer Radio lives. And I went to church there for a number of years. I was very active. I sang in the choir, and it was so funny because I was like, so, you know, I can't be gay and all this blah, 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 blah. And then I remember I met a friend through the place I was working, and she was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sick of you saying if I were gay, I would find him attractive." But so she finally started introducing me to some of her gay friends and like trying to like get me to come out and everything. It's kind of funny, but I remember I was coming out and I was like, you know, having a tough time with the church and all this about it. And so I remember this one Sunday, I was sitting in the choir and the pastor was preaching, and he started one of those sermons where he just started railing about the gays and the homosexuals and they're all going to hell and the bane of our existence and blah, blah, blah. And it was all I could do to not get up and just walk out. But at the end of the service, I did at least wait till the end of the service, but I went downstairs, took my choir robe off, walked out the door, and never walked back in again. And it was so funny because then when I quit going, of course, all of the people in the youth group and everything there got all concerned and da-da-da-da-da. And then, you know, the word got out amongst that I was gay and blah, 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 because I told a couple people. And you would not believe the hate mail that I got from people. Really? And they sent it even anonymously. But you knew. You know, they wouldn't put their name on it, but send me all this junk in the mail. Like, oh. So anyway, I decided to go to a gay church. For a while. And nice. I went to a really cool and accepting Presbyterian church for a few years and served as a deacon for 3 years there. And then I just kind of quit going to church for a while. And didn't go probably for about 4 or 5 years. But then it's kind of funny because my dad, I don't think, really ever had a big problem with it. You know, I think he, you know, your parents always know. But actually, what's funny is I ended up becoming Roman Catholic, and I think my dad had a bigger problem with that than me being gay.
I can imagine.
That's great.
It's hilarious.
So that was a clip of it. What episode number was that, in case people want to
follow? That was episode 48, back in 2007.
Oh, hold on. So did you do that on purpose? Because we're Pride 48 and you did like Amarin's 48? Are you like trying
to take... Of course I did.
Are you trying to take us over here or something?
No, that was a heavy accident, actually.
Wow.
And I couldn't actually remember when we were talking about this before, how old it was. Yeah. And because it's 2007 and only, 48 episodes in, that means that the sound quality will be bad. But
was bad. They've already heard it.
Yeah, that's true.
Or tuned out.
I mean, the perceptions of the it will be bad.
Whatever. It was great.
Whatever.
It was great. You know, I love some of the, but I love listening to some of those old shows.
Yeah. I listened to some of mine and I think, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. I mean,
it's
not.
The thing is that with this medium, especially for those of us who aren't making any money at it, there's no harm in trying things. And if they don't work, well, then they don't work. It's not a big drama. You're not losing advertisers because you screwed up. So I think it's worth kind of, trying things on for size. And if it works, then you can continue. And if you don't, then you never speak of it again.
We will never speak of this again. Yeah, I remember, like a lot of podcasters, I run into disk space problems at times. And so I have to like clean things up, like without getting too mumbo jumbo-y, like in the process of producing a podcast, you end up with multiple copies of the file. In different stages of prep before you actually do the final burn, right? The final, mix down to MP3. And I like to save my raw audio so that if I ever, for some reason, wanted to go back and pull a clip, I don't have to pull it from the MP3. I can pull it from the uncompressed audio.
Yeah, yeah.
And so occasionally on my 1 gigabyte drive that I use for storage, my 1 terabyte drive. Sorry. I occasionally run out of space. And so I go through and I will end up listening to shows from, 6 or 7 years ago. And I just get swept into listening to them again. It's just like, and then, it's an hour later and I still haven't cleaned up any space because I've been listening to, right. I was listening to that. Oh, wow. I remember that.
And it's, well, I do that. Yep.
And when it's your show, you also remember the kind of the things that were happening at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's like,
especially if there's some sort of sound clip that's related to it in some way. And because a lot of mine were topical about whatever was going on at that particular time. If there was, say, some news story, like, for example, the Canterbury earthquakes 5 years ago, I did, I think, a couple of different episodes about that. And that's a very topical thing. And that's something I might listen to it now and think, oh, boy, I remember that. But then there are other things I listen to and I think, what the hell? It's like, I can't remember any of it.
Excellent.
But that's just getting old, I think.
It is. It's partially getting old. All right, before I let you go, before we move on with our day, I'm going to ask you this question. And this is going to be, if you've listened to the clip show before, not the first one, because you're actually the first guest on the clip show, but people don't know that because it may be 5 years from now. So we don't know.
Good point.
Right.
Good point. They will have missed Pride 48 Las Vegas in 2016. Right.
Whatever. Yeah. It didn't happen. Actually, it did happen. It was a secret event and you weren't there. So, oh, you missed it. No, but the thing is that this is a standard question is going to be asked to every guest or has been asked to every guest, depending on when you listen to this. Really, this is all, it's time is relative is what we're trying to say.
Time is irrelevant because I'm in the future, after all.
That's right. Yeah, you are. You're 16 hours ahead of us here in the U.S., or at least us on the East Coast. and or no, 17 hours right now because we're not in daylight we're not in daylight saving time yet. At the time that we're recording this, which is irrelevant at the time that you're actually listening to it. See, this is what makes it so such a mind fuck here. Is that
it is.
You don't know. You think that we're just sitting here talking, but we're not. We're dead. We died like 5 years ago.
God, I hope not.
We did. I died in a horrible accident involving a thresher, and I don't even live near a farm. It's just it was a freak accident where a thresher fell from the sky and landed on top of my car. It was horrible. It really was. But here's the question. This is the question,
yes.
Arthur.
Yes.
For those people that are in the future listening to us, where do you see podcasting in 5 years? Where do you see us going? What do you see as being the next 5 years of this medium?
Well, that's a bit unfair because being in the future, they'll already know. But for those of us who are still here in the, well, past.
Right.
I think that it's going to continue because media in general is becoming further democratized and decentralized all over the show. The old traditional TV networks don't matter anymore. The traditional TV media don't matter anymore with the rise of YouTube and the other video content delivery. Same with audio. I think the same thing is going to happen, that as soon as there's a breakthrough somewhere along the line to make it easier to get it onto your car stereo or whatever your foldable put in your pocket device is at that point, that's what the missing piece, just like e-readers, e-books aren't really going to take off until there's something you can drop in the bathtub and not worry about it. In the same way with podcasts, they're really going to take off once it's easy and cheap to have all the time. You won't need a phone. You won't need a computer even necessarily. Just turn on your car radio and there are the podcasts, sort of like satellite radio, but better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would add to that that I think the ability to not necessarily have to have a single device, like once it becomes fully cloud integrated, once it becomes to the point that if I'm like right now, I live in the pseudo world where I can, you know, all of my podcasts that I listen to reside on my phone, which, you know, when I'm in my house, I'm listening to it off of my phone. When I'm in my car, I'm listening off my phone. So I have a contiguous experience as I move along through my day. But yeah. I would so much more enjoy it if it was truly cloud-based, to the point that it remembered where I was, so that if I'm listening in my car and I pull into, you know, my driveway, and then when I come inside, I'd rather listen to it on my nice stereo. I would like for it to be able to figure out where I was at and pick it up from there. I kind of fake that now with Bluetooth, but I would love for it to be, you know, completely devoid of that, so that if I was visiting someone else and didn't have my phone, I could still pick up, you know, hey, play that, you know, hey, Alexa, play that.
Yeah.
Play where I left off, that kind of a thing. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, and I don't want to pat myself on the back. You know, I do think I live in that kind of near future world where, you know, technologically at least, I am able to, you know, I never listen to the radio. I only listen to podcasts. That is, and it is seamless enough in the sense that it, you know, it automatically downloads without me thinking about it. You know, it orders itself in the correct order on my playlist because I have a podcatcher that's intelligent about how it orders things. And, you know, as a show ends, the next one plays, whether I'm in my car or whether I'm in my house or, you know, whether I'm vacuuming or whatever. So, wow, that was a long way to go. But it doesn't matter. You can find Arthur at his podcast, Amarins. You can go to his website, amarins.com. You can subscribe to his podcast by searching in your podcatcher of choice for Amarins, AMERINZ.
Or NZ, depending on where you're at.
That's true. One guy, two countries is the subtitle of that. Arthur, any closing thoughts?
The only thing I would say, and this is directed more to people who are still kind of thinking, well, I'd kind of like to do that. And it was sort of what I was getting at before when I talked about experimenting, and if it doesn't work, don't worry about it. And it's that, basically. If you're thinking about giving it a go, just give it a go. The worst that'll happen is that nobody will listen. It's not that, you know, you're not going to have to worry about losing money over it. You can do it very inexpensively. Just give it a go. There's a great community in Pride 48, people who will help you and give you advice. So try it. You might like it.
Absolutely. And research has shown that you can pretty much sneeze and at least 50 people will listen to it on the internet.
Ain't that the truth? Or you can burp.
You can burp. All right. I'm supposed to throw this over to another thing right now, but I want you to do this for me, Arthur. I want you to give me a stinger right now. Give me the old, you know, you're listening to.
Hi, this is Arthur from the Amarins Podcast, and you're listening to Pride48.com.
Of course, it goes without saying that any clip that you hear on this show can be found at pride48.com/shows. Well, actually, not any clip. I mean, the show, the source material. Now I'm rambling again, aren't I? Hey, you know what? I've just got like a big backup of things to get through here. TJ, Zombie Girl TJ, co-host of the Brain Dead podcast, sent in a clip from the Game Night guys and wanted to hear that. So here you go. This is from their episode called Heartthrob. This is Curtis and Brian. I don't know why I stumbled on Curtis's name. I know Curtis, but this is Curtis and Brian of the Game Night guys talking about the game Heartthrob.
All right, here I'm going to go pick our next boy, friend, potential person.
It's not you, previous round. It's me.
Oh, here we have Derek. Derek is sporting a nice little sports jacket. He has a very pleasant smile.
Okay. His hair looks like a helmet.
Well, that means he's got a luscious mane of hair to pull or stroke or whatever you like doing with hair. I don't know.
Coif.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Randy from the last round can do his hair.
Let's find someone interesting. I'm just going to cheat on this one.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
You don't want to like leave it up to the luck of the draw?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Here we have Bobby.
Whoa.
Bobby's wearing a very, very, very tight tank top type shirt.
And I believe he is sporting the 90s gay porn pose there. Flexing but holding his hair back.
I've seen this somewhere.
Yeah.
Several covers of DVDs.
Because Curtis kicked it old school with porn DVDs.
Totes. I haven't upgraded to Blu-rays yet.
Let's see what this next one is. Oh, it is Greg. And Greg is ready to take you to the prom. He's already in his tux.
Oh, Greg's a fancy lad. He's got a Benedict Cumberbund.
and a boutonniere.
And a boutonniere and a bow tie. Because bow ties are cool.
I think Greg's running for office.
Something about Greg I don't trust. I think his cummerbund's a little too wide.
Well, it was the 80s.
Was that the style back then?
Sure.
You should know.
Shut up.
You're nearly 60, right? Okay.
All right, next one. No. All right, and for our fourth one, here we go. It's Jesse.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you describe Jesse to the fine folks?
Jesse looks like a backup singer for Sheila E. Like, this is some kind of captain's jacket in some navy that doesn't exist.
He has a very luscious mane. He kind of looks like that other guy who's not George Michael in Wham.
He's the other guy. He's Andrew Ridgely.
Yeah.
He's Andrew Ridgely's doppelganger. Okay, so Greg and Jesse are going to bunk in the same stand here.
Yeah, they are.
Don't they make a fine couple?
They are polar opposites.
They are. Oh, dear.
So we have Derek, Bobby, Jesse, and Greg. All right, so initial thoughts, who do we pick?
I'm threatened by Bobby. Okay, I've made my choices.
I have two. I say that you pick Bobby.
No.
You didn't?
I did not pick Bobby. Why did you think that?
Because he's the most sexalicious of them all.
But I reacted very negatively when I...
But I think that means you secretly want him.
No, he's terrifying.
Like, he scares you, but you're kind of drawn to that a little.
I am shaking my head for those of you that can't see me, which is everyone.
Fine. Who did you think I picked?
Jesse.
Nope. I picked Derek.
Okay. All right.
Like a man in tweed.
Good to know. I'll just make a note of that. Well, that was a fail.
All right.
So. Round two.
Curtis and Brian can, of course, be found at GameNightGuys.com. And they put out their show, I believe, every other week-ish. We don't, you know. We're all amateurs here, right? None of us are being held to, like, you know. It's not like the investors are going to get angry if they don't do it every 2 weeks. But for the most part, GameNightGuys.com. Check them out every couple of weeks. Okay, well, we're down to the final two clips of the show. This one comes in from... I'm torn what to do here. See, I purposely didn't choose any clips myself. So if you didn't hear any clips this month that you liked, if you said to yourself, hey, there were certainly better clips out there that I heard this month, well, then it's up to you. Send me an email, clips@pride48.com, and I will make sure to include them in the next show. But here's the thing. I purposely didn't pick any clips because I did all of the last show and I wanted this to really be a community thing. My co-host, Adam Burns, chose some clips from Dubious Intent. And so I'm torn. I have two sets of clips left. I have the Dubious Intent clips, and then I have the Blime Time clips. Those are the two remaining clips to play here. I don't know which one to play. I kind of feel like I should always just play ours last, but then that's probably not giving it, not being fair to Adam, and I don't know what it is. So let's just do this. Let's just you know what? We'll just play them last. There, I made an executive decision. Hey, how do you get multiple clips on a clip show, you ask? Well, you just be that doggedly determined person like Baron Frosty and just send clips like every 5 minutes. I've got 600 different clips from Blime Time, but I believe all three of these clips that he sent are cruise related. So with all due apologies to Baron Frosty, these are edited down just a little bit from what you sent, but they are back to back. Here you go. Here's a big block of It's About Damn Blime.
So, Jesse, here's the scene. We're on the ship where we're like the only gay people there, right? And then there's 3,000 straight people who are like old.
Oh.
So we're on the ship, and I spot this gay couple in the distance. I run up to them, and I'm like, oh, my God, how are you guys? I love you, blah, blah, blah. And we're like chit-chatting and making friends with them. And we're walking around with them while we're walking with them. I'm turned sideways talking to them. I trip and I fall down the stairs in front of my new friends.
It was, we didn't see them again for the rest of the trip.
They totally avoided us for the entire week.
Sloppy drunk.
Sloppy drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who needs them?
I wasn't there, but it was ascribed to me as like the gayest fall ever. Like he did a pose falling down. His arm went up like, oh.
I pirouetted basically.
Like, he pirouetted down the aisles.
Dr. P, we were telling the story about how we were in a third world country.
People are hollering, beep, beep, horns.
Yeah, so like 80 people get there's on the first bus.
There's thousands of like begging natives.
Yeah.
Like tumor gun teeth.
Yeah. we're all queuing up to go to this jungle adventure. Hike and tubing adventure.
So we don't know what's going on because we've never done this before. The three of us are like, okay, we'll follow this stranger that has a sign saying cave tubing. So we did. Right. 80 people get on one bus. Dr. P gets on a second bus. The bus pulls away.
The bus takes like, off with Dr.
The bus
P
takes
on it.
Off with just Dr. P.
Not without my child.
So I'm clinging to the outside of the bus like a monkey. Yelling to Dr. P, get off the bus.
I remember that. That was hysterical.
I said, get off the bus now.
It was so butch and masculine. I was proud. It was like so funny. I was actually worried too. I'm like, what is going on?
I was like, in 10 minutes, he's going to be sold into white slavery.
I know. It was scary. It was like, wow.
Through the window, through the wall.
By the end of that trip, every part of my body was stuck to the other part.
I had to pull my balls off my big toe.
That's cool.
Well, Baron, that's the funny thing. After the ferry, we had to use a restroom. So they, once again, after the ferry, everyone's like about 500 people are corralling towards a city bus to go see Tulum or whatever excursion they have on the mainland. There's no bathrooms around. It's all hotels. So we get on the bus and there's a bathroom on the bus. Baron is first. I'm second. So Baron goes in, comes out. I go in. The thing doesn't flush. It's like
it's a Tupperware bowl of urine.
Yeah, pretty much. And so I'm filling it. It's getting fuller and fuller.
No,
my
it's
urine.
Basically a Tupperware bowl.
I couldn't find the flush. I did not have no idea where the flush button was. It was on the floor.
It was on the clamper.
Wall. I don't know.
It was the clamper.
There wasn't one.
As God is my witness, though, my number one fear on this entire trip is that I would have to go poop in a third world country, and that did not happen.
Nope.
You didn't poop for the 7 days you were gone, right?
I was good.
Yeah.
Which I believe officially makes him full of shit. Anyway, that is the boys from Blime Time. You can find them at blimetime.libsyn.com or more easily by going to pride48.com/shows. And here we've come to the moment that you all have been waiting for, the final clip of the show. This one was sent in from J. Adam Burns from the Dubious Intent podcast, who has a really, really odd relationship with a particular fast food restaurant.
You know, I learned something about myself, Daniel.
What did you learn, Adam?
Something very, very interesting.
Yes.
And important.
Oh, do I get to guess?
I learned that I'm rebellious.
Oh,
now, no one would think that I'm a rebellious person because I'm a people pleaser. I mean, I enjoy making other people happy. However, I learned that I'm a rebellious soul. And I'll tell you why. There are two instances just this week that let me know that I'm a rebellious individual. And the first one is, I went to Wendy's this week for my fried chicken sandwich, my home style chicken sandwich with extra pickles and onions.
I just feel like Wendy's is becoming like your nemesis or something. It's just like, I was at that Wendy's again, the one with the shifty eyes that looks at me as I drive by.
I have a thing.
They see me coming and they mess up my order on purpose just to get at me. It's a deep game they got going on.
I'm not sure if I said that on this show or not, but they have a screen. They do not use the screen at all. Like, it's there. It is lit up. I know it works. The Wendy's logo is on the screen. They don't use it. You know what else? Not only do they not use the screen.
Yes.
They don't call back your fucking order. So you have no way of knowing if they got it right. And strike three, ladies and gentlemen, they rarely ever even give you a receipt. So if they do get you have no proof.
I see. That's what I'm saying. This is like your nemesis. This is like your this is your Moby Dick. This is your that Wendy's. Right. Oh, is that Wendy's? So it was a cold day in Arkansas when I saw the Wendy's up on the horizon.
But they have food that I like the taste of and is within my caloric range. So I still go there. But anyway, so I was at Wendy's and I noticed.
Thank you, Auntie Vera. It was a lovely meal. It was within my caloric range and quite tasty.
I learned this about myself.
Yes.
So
that you're rebellious. I'm sorry, I had forgotten there for a second. Yes. Now
so we're driving up, and they come on the loudspeaker, and they this is what they do. Hi, welcome to Wendy's. Would you like to try our new bacon Gouda cheeseburger tonight? Now, I had this internal struggle.
Yes.
Because I kind of wanted the bacon Gouda cheeseburger.
Oh, God.
But because they asked me if I wanted it. And this has happened more than once in my life. This wasn't just this time. I had an internal dialogue with myself.
Because you feel like what, they'd win then?
Yes. Because they have promoted this thing to me. And then I feel stupid saying, why, yes, I would like to have the bacon Gouda cheeseburger tonight. Thank you for asking. So it worked out quite well, actually, because I really wanted to get the chicken sandwich, and I ended up getting a grilled chicken sandwich, so I saved even more calories.
Wow.
But
now, did they do that on purpose, or was that just like you, because you said you ended up with a grilled sandwich? I mean, did you like,
did they give you
the wrong order?
No. So I was debating between the homestyle chicken sandwich and the bacon Gouda cheeseburger, but I knew on my diet I really needed to go with chicken.
Right.
And then I got so mad with them calling out the bacon Gouda cheeseburger. I was like, fuck it, I'm getting the grilled because they'll save even more calories. You know, speaking of nemesis, we went to Wendy's the other night and Mark is eating fish only on Fridays because of Lent or whatever.
Because of course.
So Wendy's has this cod sandwich that they only do during Lent.
Because the Lord saith unto thee, nay, thou shalt not have the fish except on Fridays. Right.
So we drive up.
You drive
and this
up.
Is what I hear. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Wendy's. Would you like to try our new cod filet sandwich? I'm like, fuck. She asked me if I wanted it. But he has to have the fish sandwich because that's all he can eat. So then this is what I do, right? I'm like, I don't even respond to that. I pretend she didn't even say anything. And I said, yes, I would like to have the homestyle chicken sandwich, add pickles and onions. And I would also like to have that Northwestern cod sandwich combo that you have with a large fry. And
You mean the one I suggested to you?
Not the one you suggested.
When you first pulled up, sir, the one that I suggested for you?
And this was not a topic in the Trello, but I just want to say this one thing.
What did you want to say?
I don't understand why they need to push any particular item. It's not like they make more money off of one sandwich than they do another, especially those like special burgers.
Hold on,
it's
hold
just
on.
A different sauce or something.
Hold on.
Why, I mean,
hold
why
on.
Do they need to promote
hold on.
It? You're the, already in their drive-thru.
Hold on. If you say that they're not going to make more off of one sandwich than another, then you just don't understand the whole concept of supply and demand. Let's say it's the height of cod season and there's like, you know, cod only stays fresh for so long. So now, but they can get an amazing deal on twice the amount of cod that they would normally sell in a month. So they're like, you know what? Fine. We're going to reduce the price of the cod sandwich by like 10 cents on a special, but we're going to push more of them, which means that we can save money by buying this fish at a lower cost. It's like, so in that case, yes. It's like, that's the way big companies like know. Work, right? No, you don't understand. McDonald's spent research money figuring out exactly how thin they could slice a bun before it actually like fell apart. Because if they can make the bun thinner, they can keep the price the same, but still present you with the same kind of product, right? It's just like,
so I understand that, but okay.
But I'm just saying, I guarantee you that this is all economies of scale, right? This is all economies of shopping.
Now, this also irritates me.
Yes.
This also irritates me, but less so. When I go to Sonic and I order something and then they say, would you like to try some of our jalapeno poppers with that or something like that?
Right.
Now, that still irritates me, but that is an upsell. That makes sense to me. They're trying to get me to purchase more food.
Wait, so you're more upset about just the cold suggestion?
Yes.
Than you are about an upsell.
I know what I want. I knew what I wanted when I drove up to the drive-thru. I don't need you. Anyway, that was not on the Trello.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is a show, if I've ever heard a show. By the way, you can hear Dubious Intent at dubiousintent.com or find any of the shows played this month in the clip show by going to pride48.com/shows. Hey, I would like to say a very big thank you to Baron Frosty from Blime Time, to Rob 2 from The Robs, TJ from the Brain Dead podcast, and of course, Arthur from the Amarins podcast for talking with us this evening and also providing us with a clip, as well as Adam Burns from Dubious Intent. Thank you for participating this month and providing us with your choice of clips. And you could, of course, be involved in the next show. All you have to do is send an email to clips@pride48.com with the show name, the show episode, the time code roughly, and what the topic of the clip is, and we'll make sure to get it on. But until next month, have a great one.